You know, Rich, obviously, but people in this room here, you know, have seen a lot of other things in oil and gas, and Jefferies obviously does a lot other than oil and gas. What are some of the other big things stepping out of the oil patch that you saw over last year, and any big themes you can point us to?
Sure. It's a world of two different worlds, right? We watched the stock markets, the debt markets slap down, credit was frozen. We were trying to figure out, at Jefferies at the time, I was working on Revlon. We were on risk for $850 million as part of a commitment we made to the company, and our offtake of that risk was an out-of-court restructuring. That's not your typical playbook to get off risk for any type of institution. Greg and I were working on Dura Automotive, where we couldn't, we didn't know how we were going to keep 8,000 people employed. We didn't know how you'd sell an asset, right? How can people go buy something if they can't walk the floor? We were trying to sneak people across the border to Canada to get to the Dura plants in Europe through a chartered jet arrangement, or literally a boat across a lake or something. So, I mean, the deal-making environment, we were so paralyzed for a short period of time. And now let's break our necks and do more deals than we've ever done before in our, and probably everyone's career who's sitting in this room today. When you take a step back and you think about bankruptcies, turn an old adage on its head, what goes down must come up. Because, yes, are we down? Absolutely. Aggregate liabilities are down 81% of those being filed this year versus last year. You look at the number of cases, Chapter 7, Chapter 11, well, the least amount of cases filed since 1985, when I was in high school. So that's a long period of time. But I think there's an environment today. Yes, there will be some pockets of distress, and we'll tell you where we think those will be next. But you have to take a bigger look back. Right now, the leveraged lending and high-yield markets combined are over, in the United States alone, are over $3 trillion. They were less than $1.5 trillion at the time of the financial crisis back in 2007. $3 trillion. You don't need a very large default rate to keep everyone in this room gainfully employed for an extended period of time. Moreover, there's more LBO activity for LBOs greater than $1 billion. The frenetic pace is unreal. Guess what the last time it was this frenetic of large LBOs? 2005 through 2007, when we created such gems of LBOs as TXU and iHeart, Avaya, and the list goes on. All large companies that, because of cheap debt, instead of just having a nice return on the public markets, we could do better as an industry, the finance industry, that way taking them private and LBOing them. The number that is staggering to me today is the average LBO multiple for companies greater than $1 billion. Now this, again, these are supposed to be disciplined financial investors. You're capped out still at around 6x leverage, but now the average LBO multiple is 14.7x. And it's not uncommon for a financial sponsor to pay north of 20x. I'm probably in trouble with any private equity guys in the room for highlighting all of this, but 20x in an LBO. You have to achieve unbelievable success to make your returns. You're not getting it through leverage, right? Because you get, two turns of equity every turn of debt. And there's no margin for error. So what goes down must come up. Happy to compare notes with my esteemed colleagues where we're seeing some pockets of activity today. But, yes, we're down 80%. Yes, the lease filings from 1985. But there will be plenty of work to come at some point in time.
Well, I think it's a good segue for talking about what we might see coming down the road. There's obviously no room for error with all these new issuances that are out there. What are you seeing at Alvarez and Jefferies in terms of what might be the catalyst here? For example, we keep hearing a lot about the supply chain issues. How does that figure in as like a catalyst for keeping us all employed over the next year or two?
I'll start with this one. If you look at, a manufacturer, let's pick on the automotive sector. Look at Ryan's chart. Well, one of the big inputs for most of these plants is natural gas. You're up almost 2, if not 2.5x, and none of these companies appear to be hedged. Second, your labor costs have skyrocketed, and there's the shortage of labor out there. Then you look at the number of cars going to be sold in the United States, and that seems to fall every couple of months when you reset the SARS count. And then probably, you know, most importantly, when you look at that equation, is who's going to finance the automotive supplier from when the supply chain will normalize and you'll have consistency of supply, which means that the OEMs can put the cars back on the lots, and there's a shortage of cars that we all know. So automotive, I think, is obvious. I think as an industry, we did just too good of a job back in 2005 through 2008, taking debt out of that system. But the supply chain there, I think, is painfully obvious that there's someone has to be squeezed. And you could see, I think, in there, is there going to be a ton of Chapter 11 filings? I don't know. But could you at the minimum see a lot of being redone of the ABLs, which is the primary source of financing, by terming out or having a second last out piece in the ABL, because you're going to need capital to bridge. And I just don't know in that industry where the capital is naturally going to come from. I don't think it comes from the OEMs too easily. That's just one example of supply chain interruptions.
So maybe tying it back to oil and gas, where activity probably won't be in the near term when you have $85, oil and what was a massive deleveraging that occurred in 2020 and honestly the years prior, we are seeing, that capital discipline from primarily the public E&P companies. If you contrast this page where we're looking at, roughly $85 oil versus rig count, if you'll drop one and you see we are at, roughly 550 rigs.